You have the joy of the Lord this morning.
Amen.
That doesn't sound convincing.
I did.
You did. Praise God. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. I'm going to jump right in here. Now, this is the time of the year, of course, when people celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ. Now, most of the world is at least familiar with the story of Christ's birth. Whether they believe in it or not, they're familiar with the imagery, the nativity scene, the baby in the manger. Some claim to be offended by the nativity scenes. My guess is that they're not offended at all. They're not offended by the image of a helpless baby, but they're offended at what it means if he is who he said he is.
Amen.
Some folks recount the humble way that Jesus, the Son of God, came into this world. We were talking about that a bit this morning. Some folks just see him as a baby, or a cute story that they tell this time of year, right along with the myth about some omniscient, gift-giving, magical, bearded troll. The title of my sermon this morning is the title of a song that we sing. We sang it last week, I believe. What child is this? What child is this? That's a very good question. What child is this? Is it just a baby in a manger? Who is this? Just some child of poor parents born in a small town called Bethlehem? Just a story? Just a myth? Folklore? Or is the child who he claimed to be when he grew up? It's an important question, isn't it? What child is this? Who is he? Jesus even asked the question of his disciples, "Who do you say that I am?" It's a very important question. In fact, it's essential. It matters who Jesus is. Amen? A fellow named Blaise Pascal, a French philosopher in the 1600s, in some notes that he had written that were unpublished before his death, somebody gathered all these up and published them, proposed what they call Pascal's wager. In his line of thinking, all humans bet or wager with their lives, with eternity, either that God exists or he does not exist. You can't opt out. You're in it. You've got to choose one side or the other. Amen? He reasoned that if you chose God and he did not exist, then you would lose maybe some pleasures or luxuries in this life. But if you chose God and he does exist, you would have infinite gains. So he was looking at the odds, you might call it. I guess it never occurred to him. But again, these are just his notes that someone published, so I don't know what he was thinking. But based on what we know, I guess it never occurred to him that it's not enough just to say that you believe in God. That you believe that Jesus existed to be saved. The Bible says even the demons believe and tremble. In fact, Romans 10 says that we must believe in our hearts. True belief. Real belief. At any rate, he was talking about the fact that, again, all of us are gambling our eternity. Those are some high stakes, aren't they? It matters who this child is. Amen? When gambling and the stakes are high, one would want to be as informed as possible. They'd want to know the odds. Right? So, what are the odds that you would win the Mega Millions lottery? Mine are zero. I don't play. But are the odds good? Are the odds really good that you're going to win millions of dollars in the lottery? The current odds of winning the jackpot are about 1 in 258.9 million. It's a big number, right? 258.9 million. Can you even comprehend such a number? Now, don't worry, I'm not backsliding because I'm talking about gambling. It's an illustration, all right? More on that later. But again, we're talking about higher stakes here than a few million dollars. We're talking about eternity. Pascal was right. Every human is placing a bet you cannot opt out. You're in it. You've got to make a choice. Are you wagering eternity on Jesus Christ? Are the odds in your favor? We're staking everything on what child is this? Is he the Savior? Is he the Son of God? Is he the Messiah? What are the odds? Some say he never existed. Some say he's just a myth. Unbelievers will say the only information that we have about him is in a book. You hear this all the time. Brother Ritter, you're talking about debating with atheists. I'm sure you're from, you're just going by a book that was written 2,000 years ago. Well, I got news for you. More than 2,000 years ago. Right? And they say, it's just made up because they wanted it to say what they wanted to say so they could, cause people to believe in their religion. Edwin Yamuchi, an expert in ancient history, said this: from time to time, people have tried to deny the existence of Jesus, but this is really a lost cause. Did you know that if we had no New Testament, if we had no Christian writings, we would still have much information about Jesus of Nazareth written by unbelievers? Now listen to this. We would know he was a Jewish teacher. We would know that many people believe that he performed healings and exorcisms. We would know that people believed he was the Messiah. Again, all secular writing. We would know that he was rejected by the Jewish leaders. We would know that he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. We would know that despite seeing him suffer the most shameful death, his followers believed that he was still alive. And they spread. They spread beyond Palestine. And by AD 64, there were multitudes of them in Rome. All from secular writers. We also would know that all kinds of people from the cities, from the countryside, men and women, slave and free, worshipped him as God. Isn't that great? All from pagan writers, secular writers, unbelievers. I don't know about you, that sounds like Jesus of the Bible to me. Amen. Anyone else? Now again, non-biblical sources, all written by unbelievers. Even the Jewish Talmud mentions Jesus. Now, keep in mind their perspective. They were against him. Okay? This is what's in the Talmud, that he is a false Messiah. Okay, what does that tell us? That tells us that we know he had a claim to be the Messiah. So we have to look at the positive in their negative. He practiced magic. Again, Jewish Talmud. What does that tell us? He worked miracles. You remember the Jews? You're doing that by the power of Beelzebub. Right? They accused him of working miracles by the power of the devil. Not true, but we know he worked miracles. Amen? And they said he was justly condemned. So even in those writings, we see that he was the Messiah, or claimed to be the Messiah, that he worked miracles, and that he was crucified, condemned and crucified. Again, Edwin Yamuchi said this: there is better historical documentation for Jesus than for the founder of any other ancient religion. So we can see that there was, in fact, a historical Jesus. He existed, he lived, Jesus of Nazareth. But remember our wager. It's not whether Jesus of Nazareth existed. The question is, what child is this? Who is he? Who did he claim to be? What are the odds? What are the odds that the historical Jesus is truly the Son of God, the Messiah, the Savior promised of God in the Old Testament? Does Jesus of Nazareth, and He alone, match the identity of the Messiah promised in the Old Testament? So we're going to this morning look at what the Old Testament prophesied about the Messiah and compare that to Jesus of Nazareth and what we know of Him. Now, the astounding thing is that there are over 300 prophecies fulfilled in Jesus of Nazareth. Over 300. And I'm going to read every single one. Not really. Not really. But there are a lot. And out of those 300, there are 60 major prophecies. And I'm going to go over them quickly. I'm not going to cover all 60. And I had Emily just do the references on the overhead because, you know, I'm going to try to go through them quickly. If you have a pen, I would suggest that you write down these references. You're going to want to look into them. As I was studying this and preparing this sermon, I thought I knew. Oh, I didn't know. I want you to pay particular attention to the details and ask yourself, what child is this? Born of a virgin, Isaiah 7:14. Therefore, the Lord Himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call His name Emmanuel, which means God with us. Amen? Fulfilled, Matthew 2:1. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After His mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Sounds like Jesus of Nazareth to me. Amen? Brother, I like you played that song, Mary, Did You Know? Because that's kind of the same question that we're asking. Did you know? And it talks about what Jesus did. Born in Bethlehem, Micah 5:2. But you, Bethlehem Ephrata, though you are little among the thousands of Judah, thousands of towns, yet out of you shall come forth to me the one to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth are from old, from everlasting. And again, Matthew 2:1 tells us, now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem. Interesting note, just something to look into. I don't remember all the details, but I heard someone teaching years ago, how did these guys from the east know? And this fellow was teaching, was speculating, Daniel's teachings. Because that's where they came from. Daniel's teachings and prophecies, and you know, perhaps they were following that, is how they knew. You know, just very interesting. And they brought him gifts, which incidentally, they needed some money because they had to go to Egypt. There's something to think about. Prophecy tells us details. Presented with gifts. Psalm 72:10 and fulfilled in Matthew 2:1 through 11. Prophecy tells us that Herod would kill the innocent children trying, what was he doing? He was trying to kill the Messiah. That was prophesied in Jeremiah 31:15. Take note also of all the different places in the Old Testament that these prophecies came from. All the different prophets of God and their specific detailed prophecies. It was prophesied that he would be a prophet. Deuteronomy 18:18 fulfilled in Matthew 21. He would be a king. Psalms 2:6. And in Matthew 27:37, you'll remember when he was crucified, Pilate had the sign that said, "This is the King of the Jews." They didn't do that. They didn't put signs over people's heads when they crucified them. Interesting, though, that Pilate was moved to do this for whatever reason. Just an interesting thing to think about. Next, he would be preceded by a messenger. Isaiah 40:3. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert the highway for our God. Fulfilled, Matthew 3:1-2. In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea, saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And you'll remember John also said, behold, the Lamb of God. Hallelujah. He knew who that child was, right? Malachi 3:1. Behold, I send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple. Even the messenger of the covenant, in whom you delight, behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. I don't know about you, but that's exciting.
Amen.
The messenger of the covenant, the new covenant, that we're lost, but he paid the price, and we can be saved. Prophesied in the Old Testament. Now, maybe you say, well, that doesn't necessarily mean John the Baptist. Jesus says different, Matthew 11. Jesus, speaking of John the Baptist, said, But what did you go out to see? A reed shaking in the wind? He was asking, well, why'd you go out to check out John? Did you out there see some grass blowing around? He said, no, you went out to see a prophet. Yes, I say to you, more than a prophet. For this is he. Of whom it is written, behold, I send my messenger before your face who will prepare your way before you. Hallelujah, somebody. Details. It was even prophesied that his ministry would begin in Galilee. Isaiah 9:1 fulfilled Matthew chapter 3, verses 1 through 2. You see the details? Even where his ministry would begin. It's amazing. That he would be a teacher of parables. Prophesied hundreds, maybe thousands of years before he came, what kind of teacher he was going to be. Listen, Psalm 78:2 says, I will open my mouth in a parable, and I will utter dark sayings of old. Fulfilled Matthew 13:34. All these things Jesus spoke to the multitude in parables. And without a parable, he did not speak to them. What child is this? It was prophesied that he would enter the temple. Malachi 3:1 fulfilled in Matthew 21:12. His entrance into Jerusalem on a donkey. Rejoice, Zechariah 9:9. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. He is just. And having salvation, lowly, and riding on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey. Praise God. Luke 19, fulfillment. Then they brought him, the donkey, to Jesus. And they threw their own clothes on the colt. And they sat Jesus on him. And as he went, many spread their clothes on the road. Then, as he was now drawing near the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they have seen, saying, blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest.
Hallelujah.
Does that sound familiar? Do you remember what the angels said? They didn't sing. Everybody says they said. It doesn't say they. It says they said. What did they say? Peace on earth, glory in the highest. The King, and it was prophesied that he would enter Jerusalem on a donkey. Just amazing, just amazing. His resurrection prophesied. Psalms. Six. Now Psalms were written 1,000+ years before Jesus. All right. For you will not abandon me to Sheol, the netherworld, the place of the dead, sometimes translated hell, nor will you allow your Holy One to undergo decay. Acts 2:31. He, foreseeing this, spoke concerning the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus God has raised up, of which you are all witnesses. Therefore be exalted to the right hand of God. And having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he poured out this, which you now see and hear. Of course, talking about the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, the day of Pentecost. Hallelujah. And again, Luke 24:46, and he said to them, thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and rise from the dead on the third day. Glory to God.
Praise the Lord.
Mark 16:6, but he said to them, do not be alarmed. You see Jesus of Nazareth who was crucified. He is risen.
Amen.
He's not here.
Glory.
Go and look at the place where they laid him. It's an empty tomb. He's risen. Amen?
Amen.
His ascension was prophesied, Psalm 68, 18, and fulfilled in Acts 1 and 9. If you remember, Jesus went up to heaven. He ascended to be at the right hand of the Father. What child is this?
It's him.
And what is he doing at the right hand of the Father? He lives. The Bible said he lives to make intercession for you and for me. Praise him this morning. Prophesy. Now listen to these details. Betrayed by a friend. Psalms, 1,000 years. Psalms 41:9. Even my own familiar friend in whom I trusted. Great. Listen. Who ate my bread? Who ate my bread? And lifted his heel against me. Matthew 13. When Jesus had said these things, he was troubled in the spirit and he testified, saying, most assuredly, I say to you, one of you will betray me. You ready? John 13, 26. Jesus answered, it is he to whom I shall give a piece of bread when I have dipped it. And having dipped the bread, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. You see the prophecy? Do you see the detail? Written over 1,000 years before. Not only would his friend betray him, but the friend who he gave bread, who ate his bread. Hallelujah. Anybody else excited about this?
Yes.
More details. That he would be sold for 30 pieces of silver.
Yep.
Not only that, the money, this is astounding. The money would be thrown into the house of God. Wait. And what they would do with the money. Zechariah 11:11-13. Then I said to them, listen, who's this sound like? If it is agreeable to you, give me my wages, and if not, refrain. So they weighed out for my wages 30 pieces of silver. Verse 13, and the Lord said to me, throw it to the potter. That princely price they set on me. So I took the 30 pieces of silver and I threw them into the house of the Lord for the potter. Zechariah, the prophecy, Matthew 27. Then Judas, his betrayer, seeing that he had been condemned, was remorseful and brought back the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and the elders, saying, I have sinned by betraying innocent blood. And they said, what is that to us? You see to it. Then he threw down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed. And he went and hanged himself. But the chief priest took the silver pieces and said, it is not lawful to put them into the treasury because of they are the price of blood. And they consulted together and bought with them the potter's field to bury strangers in.
What about?
Forsaken by his disciples. Zechariah 13. 7a, awake, O sword, against my shepherd, against the man who is my companion, says the Lord of hosts. Strike the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered. And you're familiar with the fulfillment in Matthew 26 when Jesus said, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. And you remember his disciples were scattered. Prophesied in Psalms 35 that he would be accused by false witnesses. Prophesied in Isaiah that he would be wounded and bruised and that he would not make a defense, that he would keep silent. Isaiah 53, but he was wounded. I love this scripture. But he was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him. And by his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted. Yet he opened up not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter. And as a sheep before its shearers is silent. So he opened not his mouth. Matthew 27, and while he was being accused of the chief priests and elders, he answered nothing. Then Pilate said to him, do you not hear how many things they testify against you? But he answered him, not one word, so that the governor marveled greatly. He was smitten and spat upon. Details, Old Testament prophecy, Isaiah. I will give my back to those who struck me, and my cheeks to those who plucked out the beard. I will not hide my face from shame and from spitting. Matthew 26 tells us they spat in his face, and they beat him, and others struck him with the palms of their hands. What child is this? What child is this? This child born in Bethlehem with no place to go. Poor Jesus of Nazareth, the carpenter from Nazareth. Amen. These are the things that were fulfilled in this historic person's life. What child is this? Hallelujah. It was prophesied in Psalm 22 that he would be mocked. He trusted in the Lord, let him rescue him. Remember that? Written 1,000 years before he came. It was prophesied that he would fall under the weight of the cross. Details. That's in Psalms 109, fulfilled in John 19 and Luke 23. Pierced and crucified between two thieves. Now listen to this. Psalms 22. For dogs have surrounded me. Another name for soldiers. For dogs have surrounded me. The congregation of the wicked has enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. Luke 23:33. And when they had come to the place called Calvary, they crucified him and the criminals, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Now I want you to notice something. This was written around 1044 B.C. More than 1,000 years, or approximately 1,000 years before Jesus was crucified. And 400 to 600 years before crucifixion was invented or used. But yet, the Old Testament prophecy says that they would pierce his hands and his feet 1,000 years before it happened. It's prophesied that he would intercede for his persecutors. Everything that they did to him. They spit on him. They pulled out his beard. They beat him so that you could see the organs. They nailed him to that cross. They mocked him. And yet he looked down and said, Father, forgive them.
Oh, Jesus.
What child is this? Is he great enough to forgive you? Is he great enough to forgive me?
Yes.
When he can look down at that cross of torture, at those who were spitting in his face and mocking him, and say, Father, forgive him. Hallelujah, somebody.
Hallelujah. Mm.
Prophesied that his friends would stand afar off. Psalms 38 and Luke 23. Prophesied that he would be stared at. Psalms 22, 1,000 years before, and fulfilled in Luke 23:35. Prophesied that his garments would be parted and gambled for. Do you see the details?
Amen.
What child is this? Prophesied that he would thirst. Not only that, prophesied that they would give him vinegar. Anybody here been really thirsty? And you thought, man, if I just had a big old glass of vinegar. No, it wasn't kind. It wasn't kind. And another thing that they lifted up to him was myrrh. But he refused it. Myrrh was a pain reliever. He refused it. Because he suffered for you. And he suffered for me. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. His cry was prophesied. Psalms 22. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from helping me? And from the words of my groaning, God turned his back. Because he became sin. He became sin. He who knew no sin became sin for us.
Amen.
And the Father had to turn his back.
Oh, Jesus.
Fulfilled in Matthew 27. Prophesied that he would commit himself to God. Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit. Psalms 31 and Luke 23. Prophesied that his bones would not be broken. And that he would be pierced in his side. Psalms 34:20. He guards all of his bones. Not one of them is broken. John 19:33. Then the soldiers came, listen, and broke the legs of the first and of the other who was crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus, they saw that he was already dead. They did not break his legs. But one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and immediately blood and water came out. And he who has seen this testified, his testimony is true, for he knows that he is telling the truth, so that you may believe. For these things were done, that the scripture will be fulfilled, not one of his bones shall be broken. And again, another scripture, he continues, says, they shall look on him who they pierced. Death by crucifixion did not come by nail wounds. They didn't bleed to death. It was caused by asphyxiation. You would be hanging there and you would have to push yourself up by the nail in your feet. And sometimes they would put something there to stand on. They were about torture. They didn't want you to die in a hurry. Sometimes people hung there for 3 and 4 days alive. And then they would break their legs so they could no longer push up and they would be asphyxiated. But it was prophesied 1,000 years before it happened that they wouldn't break his legs. You know, here they are. They come to the first thief, break his legs. Who's next? Jesus. And he passed him by. And go to the other one. You think the other guys didn't at least look like they were dead? Prophecy fulfilled. Glory to God. It's prophesied that he would be buried in a rich man's tomb. Isaiah in Matthew 27. Now listen to this. Darkness over the land. You remember? The story of the cross? And it got dark. And there was earthquakes. Alright? Listen. Amos 8 and 9. And it shall come to pass in that day, says the Lord, that I will make the sun go down at noon, and I will darken the earth in broad daylight. Matthew 27, 45. Listen now. Listen. Now from the sixth hour until the ninth hour, there was darkness all over the land. Amen. Okay, that's great. But we believe the Bible. So we believe in Amos. We believe that God prophesied through Amos. We believe that the Bible said this happened. Now, if it was true, you know, there's many that say, oh yeah, it's just traumatic writing. So, you know, we believe the Bible, so, you know, we're buying it, right? But you would think something like this happening, if that was true, you would think somebody else would have noticed it. Right? A historian, this just gives me goosebumps. I don't know about you. A historian named Phallus mentioned the occurrence in AD 52. Said there had been darkness at the time of the crucifixion of Jesus, but he explains it away as an eclipse. Listen to this one. Phlegon, a Greek author, reported that in the fourth year of the 202nd Olympiad, there was, and I quote, the greatest eclipse of the sun, and that it became night in the sixth hour of the day, so that the stars even appeared in the heavens. And there was also an earthquake in Bithynia, and many things turned over in Nicaea. You know, in the fourth year of the 202nd Olympiad. You know what that is, right? AD 33. Wow. Yeah, wow, exactly. What child is this? What child is this? Who is this little baby that people focus on this time of year? Who is he? What child is this? What are the odds that this Jesus, the carpenter from Nazareth, is the promised Messiah, the Savior, the Christ? Some object to saying that these prophecies were deliberately fulfilled. Okay, I want to show a hand. How many here chose the day and place of your birth? How does one have control over that? You don't. How does one have control over who will betray you and how they will betray you? The method of your death. People's reaction to your death. How many have control over your burial? You might make plans. That doesn't mean we're going to do what you say. Do you see the blatant foolishness of those who face the evidence that is overwhelming? Overwhelming. And they still deny Jesus Christ. Like we said this morning, Brother Doug, it's faith, but it's not blind faith. Have you heard these prophecies? Is it not amazing? What are the odds? Coincidence? That's the other argument. They say that's coincidence. Coincidence? All right, maybe one or two could happen to a single man. But over 60 major prophecies were fulfilled in Jesus the carpenter from Nazareth, plus several hundred more. Over 300. All fulfilled in just one man, Jesus of Nazareth. What are the odds? Well, a man called Peter Stoner set out to discover just that. He wrote a book called Science Speaks, showing that coincidence is ruled out by the science of probability. Okay, 60 major prophecies. He chose just 8. Just 8 prophecies. Out of over 300 and 60 of the major. Just 8. He says, we find that the chance that any man might have lived down to the present time, he wrote it in the early 60s, any man down to the present times to fulfill all 8 of these, what are the odds? 10 to the 17th power. I don't think there's even a name for that. They just call it 10 to the 17th power. I mean, I don't think there's any, you know, jillion, billion, bubblillion, all that stuff. I don't know. I don't know. I looked it up. How do you say it? I don't know how to say it. Do you know how to say it, brother? 10 to the 17th power. That's 10 with 17 zeros. Can you fathom that? Can you even fathom that number? I can't. This brain can't. It's kind of like trying to fathom the national debt. Shout. All right, listen. Stoner illustrates it this way. We can get a handle on it. All right? I can't imagine a number that big, but listen to this. If you took silver dollars and you covered the entire state of Texas, a little more clear? Silver dollars cover the entire area of the state of Texas. That's a lot, right? Oh, wait. 2 feet deep. That's 10 to the 17th power. Silver dollars over every square inch of the state of Texas, 2 feet deep. And you marked one of them, and you stirred them all up. And you told one man, we're going to put a blindfold on you. We're going to spin you around in Dallas, Texas. We're going to set you out. You have one try. What are the odds? What child is this? I'm going to tell you right now what the odds are. The odds are not even 1 to 10 to the 17th power, my friends. The odds are 1 to 1. He is who He said He is.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. So we don't need, hallelujah.
Amen.
We don't need Pascal's wager. There really is no wager. There's no guess. There's no 50-50. There's no flip of the coin. He is.
He is.
Hallelujah.
But there is a choice. He is who He is.
Amen.
No guess. But there is a choice. A choice between two sure things. A person can choose Jesus, who without a doubt is the Savior. They can believe Him, trust in Him, rely on Him for their salvation, and spend eternity in heaven. That's one choice of a sure thing. The other sure thing is that the person could choose to ignore Him. The person could choose to deny Him. The person could choose to reject Him. The person can choose to remain in their sins and spend an eternity in hell. Two choices. Both are sure things. What child is this? What child is this? The song continues. This. Say it with me, is Christ the King.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise Him. Go ahead. Praise Him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now that song is based on a poem by William Chatterton Dix, written about 1865. I looked up that poem. And it's not really that close to the song. In fact, what child is this wasn't even in there. But listen to this. Now a new power has come to earth. A match for the armies of hell. A child is born who shall conquer the foe and all the spirits of wickedness quell. For Mary's son is the mighty one, whom the prophets of God foretell. Give it praise. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Glory to God. Are you convinced? What child is this?
It's him.
Christ the King. Amen. Are you convinced?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Christ the King. Is he your king?
Yes.
Is he your king? Is he on the throne? Does he rule your life? Is he your Lord? The carol continues. It says, the king, or one verse says, the King of Kings salvation brings. How many are glad for it?
Amen.
The King of Kings salvation brings. Let loving hearts enthrone him. Raise a song on high. Haste to bring him laud. You may know what laud is? I had to look it up.
Praise.
Can we do that this morning?
Amen.
I just want to ask you right now, if he is your king, wait a minute, if he's not your king, I want to tell you he loves you, he died for you, he is calling you.
Amen.
And all you've got to do is repent from your sins.
Amen.
That means you turn away from your sins. You change your mind about your sins. You realize that by your sin you've broken God's law and offended Him. And the Bible says godly sorrow works repentance.
Amen.
You turn from your sin. You put all your trust in this child. See, it wasn't about the child. It was about the man. God, who became flesh and came and died in our place. He has already taken the punishment for our sins. So all you've got to do is repent of your sins, call out to Him, ask Him to forgive you, and make Him Lord. Make Him King. Is He your King? Is He really your King? Is He on the throne? Hallelujah. So, the King of Kings, salvation brings. Glory to God. Let loving hearts, any loving hearts here? Let loving hearts enthrone Him. Raise a song on high and haste to bring Him laud. Can we stand this morning and give Him praise? Can we stand this morning and give Him praise?
Praise the Lord.
It's only a few minutes after 12. Can we give Him praise this morning?
Hallelujah.
Praise Him. Come on. Praise Him. Glory to God. Glory to God in the highest. The King of Kings. Oh Lord. Lord, we bless You. We thank You for coming. We thank You for who You are. We thank You for salvation. Praise Him, somebody. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise the Lord. And not just now, the rest of the day, next week, all month, all year, until He comes. Amen. Amen. Praise God.
Praise Him.
Yes.
Praise.